Father, we come before you, and Lord, we do thank you for today, just the biblical truths that we've heard, Lord, the testimonies, Father, how you've worked in lives and how you've worked through people and in people, and God, we give you the glory for that. And Father, for this session, Lord, I pray you'd help me to convey the things that you gave to me, and or just help us all to learn something or just be reinforced in something of how we can help the hurting. In your name I pray.
Amen.
Well, I don't even know if this session is needed because what you've heard already today, of course, we give God the glory for everything you've heard, but you've heard how people have come to the side of others when they go through hurt, when they go through trials and great tragedy, So, you know, that's, if you walk away, if you're not going through a hurt right now, you've come to be a help to somebody or just be here to fellowship with people, you can walk away with that lesson of coming beside somebody in their hurt. But we're going to talk about a few things about how the church can help the hurting, okay? How the church can help the hurting. I trust this conference has been a help to you or a blessing to you, a reinforcement to you. And you've learned some things or just been reminded of some things. Maybe you are dealing with a trial. Maybe you're dealing with some anguish or hurt. Or maybe you know somebody that is. Or maybe you're just here wanting to prepare yourself to help somebody. We're going to talk about that. But no doubt, as you go through your Christian life, you will face trials, you will face hurts. I will tell you, just right off the bat, some of you, how many heard Pastor Chris's session out here? Anybody hear that? You know, it reminds me, and just so you all know, at that time, I was stationed in Groton, Connecticut. It was my last duty station with the Navy, and I remember getting a phone call in the middle of church about Cassie. But in the oncoming weeks and months, I myself was going through a very difficult trial in Groton, Connecticut, a very difficult time, and Pastor Chris would call me weekly, almost, check up on me. He's going through the trial here, and he's calling me. Amazing. And that's something we'll talk about. And so getting your eyes on others. But in these few minutes we have, we're gonna look at three things. We're going to look at what I call the Christian's part. Of course, we've got to alliterate everything, right? The Christian's part, or what is the responsibility of the local church to help the hurting? Number two, we're going to look at the Christian's preparation. So if we're going to help the hurting, what are some things we can do to prepare us individually to help the hurting? And number three, the Christian's practical actions. We'll talk about some practical things. I think you've already heard a bunch of things of practical actions. We can just take those and help come alongside the hurting. So we're gonna talk about those three things in this session. First of all, the Christian's part. You know, it's not a grand title. Just try to alliterate everything. But what is the responsibility of the church? You know, as Christians, as saved, we should be a part of a local Bible-believing church. We should join a local Bible-believing church. And so, you know, the church has a purpose. God intended a purpose, has a purpose for His local church, wherever His local churches are at. And, you know, the church is a called out body of believers. Okay? We know that. Called out body of believers in Jesus Christ. The scriptures give us a lot more detail about what the church is to be and what we're to be in the church. Certainly, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 discusses being a part of that local body. And so, if we as Christians are intended to be a part of a local body, then the church is made up of individuals. And it's individuals, if you heard these testimonies, come alongside people. Okay? Now, so the church is made up of individuals, and the church, we have a responsibility to help the hurting. As I was looking through this, the scripture of Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40 came to mind. Jesus Christ is speaking. So that's Matthew 25, 34 through 40. This is part of what we know as the Olivet Discourse. Okay? And Jesus Christ is a couple days away from His crucifixion. And He's giving a picture of the judgment to come. So, you know, we're not going to talk through all the theology of this Olivet Discourse and what He's talking about. But Christ does use some examples of compassionate things. It starts out in verse 34. He's talking and he's saying, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the foundation from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. Was in prison, and ye came unto me." And then it goes on, and the disciples ask, "Well, when did we see you as a stranger? When did we see you hungry?" And so forth. And Christ's answer is, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." He's talking about how they treated the Jews at that point. Again, won't get into all the theology, but he's talking about compassionate things to his people. Compassionate things. And he's showing, he's giving the example that his people need to be compassionate and show these things. So we can look at the church and understand that we as a church are to be compassionate on people. While this, and again, this passage, people can look at that and go, well, you know, it shows a salvation by works. Do good things and you're going to be blessed of my Father. That's not what it's showing. The point is, in this passage, we're seeing Christ is looking at the expectation of compassionate things. Coming alongside the sick, coming, helping provide for them and so forth. All that is said for the application that there's blessing and there's expectation that as we who know Jesus Christ as Savior will do good works to them that are hurting. It's not to gain salvation, it's because of salvation. Okay, many of you here at our church, our pastor just preached on the Good Samaritan. Okay, and we all know that story is a parable as understanding what we should do to those that are hurting or those that are in need. And so there's examples in the Bible about what we should do, what we should be as a church for the hurting. Okay, the purpose of the church. Okay, that's one of the purposes. If we look in Acts 2:42, at the beginning of the church, we see a lot of things about what the purpose of the church is. You know, glorify and worship God, preach the word. We see that in 1 Timothy, and teach the word, edify and strengthen believers. We see that in Acts chapter 2. Observe the two ordinances, spread the gospel, send out missionaries, reproduce. Okay. Pray for each other, pray together, fellowship, and minister to those in need. So, all that to say, as part of a local body of believers, we have a responsibility. And I think we're here today. We're here today partly to stir up those embers of being compassionate to people. That's part of what we want to do today. And so, we can talk some other things here. So, there's a purpose, the Christian's part. We could go a lot deeper into what the church is and all of that, but I think we know as Christians and as part of Bible-believing churches, we're to be compassionate. We're to help the hurting. But how do we do it? What are some things that we can do to help the hurting? So, number two, we'll spend most time in number two and number three, the Christian's preparation. So as I was thinking through this, I really got to thinking about, well, is there much preparation to helping somebody? And I would say yes, there is. As Christians, I can tend to be a bit selfish with my time. You know, I hope I work hard, and then I want to go home and rest. You know, I got things at home I got to do, I need to prepare my heart. You know, that verse in Ezra, we've seen a couple times in pastors preaching and teaching about he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. We need to prepare our heart to help others, because if we don't, we're not going to see the needs. We're not going to see them. One author I read had this to say that really struck me. An important question to ask is this. Ask of yourself, am I prepared to become sacrificially involved in the lives of others? And as our pastor has preached a couple weeks in preparing our church for this conference, and I got to think, you know, I drive by my neighbors. I live down this dirt road, and I got three neighbors down that dirt road. How much do they know me, and how much do I know them? Am I prepared to become sacrificially involved in their lives? Sometimes those who are hurting are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes they're not brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes they're within the church. Sometimes they're outside of the church. And so we need to prepare ourselves. And I went through this list, and there's some things I wrote down, and Brother Jared and I sat in my office, and we wrote down some things about this. And I got home, and I got this morning, and I'm praying over this, and the Lord just smote me about something. The first thing we need to do, so the Christian's preparation, is pray. My soul, that's basic to any kind of ministry. When we do nursing home, when you do prison ministry, whatever ministry we do, we need to pray. We need to pray, and I can forget that. And there may not be somebody currently right now that the Lord's laid on my heart to help, but I still need to be praying, Lord, is there someone you need to open my eyes to? I'm willing to open my eyes to them. Prayer. Earnest prayer. And really, Christians, especially seasoned Christians, know this. Earnest prayer changes you. It changes your heart. It taps into the power to do what you can't do, that God can do through you what you can't do. So, the first and foremost thing of preparation to help the hurting is prayer. And maybe I need to add that. I know I need to add that to my prayer life. Lord, is there someone you got to get my eyes on to help? Okay? Prayer. I know that as I teach a Sunday school, or when I get the opportunity to preach, I always, I seek the Lord. Lord, you got to help me. I don't know how to do this. I can't do this without you. It's the same thing with helping somebody. I can't, sometimes I don't know if we take it seriously enough as far as the act of helping somebody. We do, and we do a lot of good helping, but prayer. Lord, show me, help me. Help me, Lord, to be ready to help somebody. Okay? I don't know. One good thing to do is reread some books on prayer. E.M. Bounds has got a great book, The Complete Works of Prayer by E.M. Bounds. Charles Spurgeon's got a great book. It's called Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. Great book on prayer, just to be reminded of praying for these things. So that's first and foremost. Second of all, we need to prepare ourselves to be a friend. Now, all of us, I think, have friends. Okay, maybe we grew up with them. Maybe we met them through our local church. But what about those we don't know? What about those that we don't know as well? What about my neighbors? Okay, we've talked from time to time. One of them's a retired Navy guy like myself. One of them, his name is George. One of them is Daryl. And you get to know them. And I need to prepare myself to be their friend. We'll talk about that in just a second. We're brothers and sisters to those in the church, and we can be to those who come to visit if they're saved. But we can be a friend to anybody. It's hard to influence without relationship. So I think of the testimony we just heard. David and Diana Wilbur, and they were in that horrible car accident. And Diana was with her children. And there were people in a local church that knew about it, and they came to be a friend. They may not have known the Wilbers at the time, but they came to be a friend. Okay. Reminds me of Bible verses. I always love to go Seek the word of God. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Okay? Part of our purpose in life is to help others and to be a friend. These are verses that we can take in to help prepare our hearts to help. So that's what I'm getting at in these verses. We need to pray. We need to prepare to be a friend. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Close friends provide constructive criticism and accountability. Just as sharpening an iron blade makes it more effective, close friends sharpen one another's character. So that's talking about a close friendship, but it's still helping you prepare to be a friend. Let me see here. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he has fallen, for he hath not another to help him up. Yeah. When I read this verse, I need to take it in and say, Lord, am I willing to help another up? Am I too busy? Am I prepared to be that friend to lift him up when he's down? Am I prepared? In Job chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, to him, so Job is speaking, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. So Job is talking about his friends. You know, he's saying a friend should show pity, show help, and Job is pointing out that his friends at the time weren't being so friendly. Okay. But as I read that verse, I'm thinking, what am I showing to somebody I know who's hurting? What am I doing? Am I letting them just pass by? Or am I helping them? So I'm talking about verses of how we can prepare our heart to be that friend. Okay? 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Job's verse here talks about one who doesn't show pity on someone he sees as hurting. He's actually forsaking the fear of the Almighty. I'm actually showing I don't have a fear of God when I'm ignoring someone that I can help. Okay, same here in 1 John 3:17. So, you know, you don't have to become best friends with somebody. That's not what all this is saying. And you don't have to open up your entire life to somebody. But you can show yourself friendly and come alongside them. Certainly, we don't come alongside them and condone or accept sinful situations to be their friend. We know that. But you can show yourself friendly to someone to be a friend. This same author I quoted earlier wrote this: all friendships involve risk. There is a possibility that we may be betrayed or become disappointed in those whom we befriend. But without such risks, there are no rewards. And it, again, this author I read, and these Bible verses really spoke to me about preparing myself to be a friend, to help someone who's hurting. Instead of just going on my merry way, I've got my 100 checklist that Pastor Chris gives me. I need to stop and help somebody. Okay? Are you prepared to be a friend? As you prepare to be a friend, focus on scripture passages that promise that you are able to make friends and remind you of God's concern for your hospitality towards others. You must make a conscious effort to include others in your world. That's sometimes hard for us to do. Again, I go back to, you know, we're busy, we've got a lot of things on our plate. Some might say, well, I'm a very private person. However, we do need to make a conscious effort as brothers and sisters in Christ to include others in our world. God will reward you generously as you obey Him in this area. Let me see here. Jesus Christ makes reference to this, what I just said about there are no rewards without the risks. So he put forth a parable. This is in Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 15. He put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief room. Say, remember, it was talking about a wedding feast. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And then, you know, you got to be put down to the lower seat. Okay. And then he goes on, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. You remember this parable. And the idea here, he says in the next verse, verse 14, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Again, he's talking about the rewards, the blessings of helping somebody that can't pay you back. And I think sometimes we got to prepare our hearts for that too. Okay, and I don't think any one of us, you know, born again, Bible believing Christians, go into trying to help somebody so you can get something back. But it is a way, we just need to be remembering of this, right, to prepare our hearts to truly help somebody. Okay, so these are things to prepare our hearts. We need to pray. Okay, we need to pray that the Lord would open our eyes to needs. We need to prepare to be a friend. We also need, and again, this is a little out of order, but we also need to pray for the Lord to give you what you need when you need it. Mm-hmm. So, the idea here is in Mark chapter 13, verse 11. Jesus Christ is speaking, and of course he's talking about the end times again with his disciples, and he says, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, okay, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. So he's speaking to his disciples about being brought through before the magistrates and the councils to be beaten and silenced and shut up and all of that. Take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. If I've prayed, first of all, I pray, Lord, help me to be that friend. Help me to see the needs out there. Help me, Lord. I need your help. I need your Holy Spirit to do this. If I'm praying that way, and then I'm also going to pray, Lord, I don't know. I mean, boy, somebody could come to me and really have a big issue. What am I going to say to them? Well, he's giving us the principle there. Look, pray. And ask the Lord to give you what you need in that moment. I'm not saying don't think through it. I mean, if you have a friend that you know is going through a hard time, you'd be praying, how do I help this person? But the idea here is, you know what? As we're praying, help me, Lord, be prepared to help the hurting. Help me, Lord, to know what to say, where to point them in Scripture, what to do. Help me, Lord. You think God's going to answer that prayer? I believe He does, and I believe He will. Okay, so we're going to pray. We're going to prepare to be a friend. As Bible-believing Christians, one of the keys to preparing to help the hurting is you and me being faithful to our local church. Amen. Plain and simple. Everything revolves around being faithful to... Well, everything revolves around God. But God set up the local church for our learning, for our growth, to hear the Word of God preached, and to prepare our hearts for things like helping the hurting. Okay, we've got to be faithful to our local church. Being faithful to our local church is very much a part of abiding in Christ. Now, abiding in Christ, we're going to be in His Word. We're going to be praying. We're going to be listening to Him. We're going to be seeking His face. We're going to be on our knees praying. We're going to be around the believers that God set us in the midst. Okay, being faithful to the local church. Another thing is being a person of the book. Okay, that goes without saying. Look, we're going to be in the Word of God, just like we are today. We're going to be at Sunday school or in the preaching. We're going to be in the book so that we can be filled. The pastor has spoken a lot about our tank being full so we can give out. Well, I want my tank to be full. I don't know. This coming week, I don't know if I'm going to come across somebody with a specific problem or issue, but man, I need to get my tank full, because I believe if I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, prepare me to help somebody, I need to be filling my tank. I don't know what God's got in store, but He knows what's going to go on, so He knows what I got to get filled with to help that person. Okay, so there's some things. Now, praying, preparing to be a friend, being faithful to your local church, being a person of the book. Some of you, anybody in the next minute, anything flashing through anybody's mind about preparing to help somebody? Anybody got any ideas? Anything that flashed through your mind so far today that you can do to prepare to help somebody? Any ideas? Want it? Opportunity. Any ideas outside of
maybe have a budget set aside?
Okay.
Somebody out of nowhere, and the Lord puts it on your heart to help them.
There you go. That's a preparation. You may not know who might need help, but as we budget our personal budget, there might be a little something we set aside. Stick it in an envelope. That's a good preparation. Maybe somebody needs a tank of gas, you know, and you can give them a $10 bill. Here, well, it might not buy much, but it might get you somewhere. That's a good idea. That's a practical preparation. That's a practical preparation. Anybody else? Anything else that you can think of? A preparation. Yes, ma'am?
Ask the pastor.
Hey, is there somebody that needs help? And we'll talk about that in just a minute. That's excellent. That's right. A way to prepare. We may not have been actively helping somebody at that point in time, but the act of preparing to do so is very important as we think about this. Okay, so we've talked the Christian's part. You know, I didn't skip over it, but the church's responsibility. We have a responsibility to care for those within the church and care for those without the church. I'll say something about that in just a minute. So we've talked about the Christian's part. We talked about preparation. There's some things we can do to prepare. I know just coming through today really has opened my eyes to, wow, sometimes how unprepared and how I just get busy with life and with things going on at the office and ministries. You know, many of you know camp is coming and it is just looming out there, okay? It's looming. But there are people that still need help. And God intends for me to help them, and God intends for you to help somebody, and you to help somebody, and you to help somebody. Okay, so we need to prepare. And then there's some practical actions, and there's a lot of practical actions that we can do. If we look at that Matthew 25 passage, it's Matthew 25, 34 through 40. We just talked about that briefly. It's the one where Jesus Christ is that Olivet Discourse, and he uses these practical things. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Or when saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And Jesus answers, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. As we do things for others, we're doing it as unto the Lord. Okay. Obviously with the right motives we're doing it. And he gives these practical things. Feeding, giving them to drink, saw them as a stranger, clothed them, helped them when they're sick. And so there's practical things. In Job chapter... So the Bible doesn't just leave us with kind of these big principles. It talks some specifics, certainly talks specifics about, hey, we're to help. Where to help the hurting. In Job chapter 2, verse 11, Bible says, now when Job's three friends heard, now this is just coming through the initial, the whirlwinds of everything Job's going through. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, there's no young couple in our church that should ever wonder about what they can name their kids, okay? It's all there. It's all there. For they, his friends, made an appointment together to come to mourn with him, Job, and to comfort him. There was purpose. They purposed to go help somebody that was hurting. So should we. So should we. There's purpose to it. So there's practical actions. Well, once again, you know, ma'am, you brought up, you know, going to see the pastor. Who's needing help? And I started writing down, and Brother Jared and I started writing down things, blah, 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 blah. And again, the Lord said, wait, whatever happened to prayer? Okay, so now, as a church, I know my responsibility, and I prepared myself. And the Lord brings somebody that's hurting my way. And, you know, I'm a man, you know, I'm a guy. And okay, we got to do something. Let's just do something. Let's get a checklist. Let's do something. We need to pray for them. Prayer. We need to pray for them. Okay? For starters. We need to pray that, you know, obviously pray, Lord, how do I help them? But pray for that person. Pray for their need. Whatever that need is. Maybe it's an emotional need. Maybe it's a need for healing. Maybe it's a need for a material provision. I don't know. But we need to commit that to prayer. Always the first thing. And sometimes it's the last thing I think of, but it's the first thing we should be at. Prayer for that person. So that's a practical thing. That is the number one practical thing, is prayer. And then seek them out, okay? Seek out those whom you are able to help and befriend. You might not know, but you can ask the pastor, hey, who? Is there somebody I can help? Is there somebody that needs help? You know, don't expect, this author wrote, again, don't expect people to come to you. You must go to them. He writes, I've known people who were physically handicapped, and yet in some way they gave themselves to the legitimate needs of those around them and formed friendships. Such activity practically guarantees that we will be free from depression, because the Scriptures assure us. So he's talking about, get your eyes on helping somebody else. We'll talk about that. Scriptures say in Isaiah 58:10, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. What's he talking about there? And there's blessing when you help somebody else. There's blessing there. You know, and it could be said this way, be watchful. I might not see everybody in a church and how they have needs, but I can ask pastor. Be watchful. Is there someone you see or someone you know? Maybe their countenance just isn't right. You know, check on them when they don't show up for church. Okay? Just check on them. A little text, a phone call. You don't have to be prying, but just concerned. Okay? You don't have to pry, but just show some concern. You might try to understand how the person is hurting. Why they're experiencing the hurt. Again, you don't have to be prying, but just concerned. Remember, the end goal is to get them to see God's truths in His Word to help them. You may be just the beginning conduit of helping them, okay? And that's okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as ye do, okay? Seek out those who might be hurting, okay? We're going to pray for them. So if God brings someone your way or you know of somebody, pray for them. Really earnestly pray for them. Number two, seek them out. Seek out somebody you can help, or seek them out and befriend them. Again, we're going to try and do that. Now, I do want to, just a word of caution, and I think we all know this, but especially us in Pennsylvania, you got to be cognizant of age. Okay? Someone 17 and below, us adults, need to make sure we've got mom and dad involved, or pastor involved, or both. Okay, it's now other states may be the same way. Pennsylvania, we have to be very, very, very careful. Not you know, I can't help you. You're 16 years old. No, we just have to be careful about what's said. You know, and again, Go to your pastor. Just go to your pastor and ask, okay? But those teens, they need help too, okay? They need help too. Pray for them. Seek them out. Three, be a listening ear. Be a listening ear, okay? That's something that we can do practically, okay? Many times someone just needs someone to listen to them. Just need someone to listen. Listening is an act of caring. Okay? Listening is one of the best ways to help someone. Just listen. In Job chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, so they sat down, they, the friends, sat down with him, Job, upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. They sat and listened. Now, nobody said anything, but they sat and listened. And sometimes that's just what we need to do. I'm not saying Job's friends always acted right in the right manner, always had the right words, but here we see that they just came and sat with him and listened. And that's a good thing to do. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Well, that applies to coming and helping the hurting and just listening. Just listening. I know many times I don't know what to say. I just come and listen. Just come and listen. Now, there's always warnings, you know, about listening. There's always warnings about things. As we try and help somebody, and we just want to listen, we just want to be a listening ear. You know, we do need to be discerning. We need to be careful. I'm not saying, you know, my compassion only goes this far. Okay, I'm just saying, when there's somebody that keeps coming to you, wanting you to listen, and listen again, and listen again, listening is good. But we need to be discerning about, are they doing something to help their situation, or are they responding to your help of their situation, or are they just wanting to come get the listening ear to get your sympathy and approval for them wallowing in their situation? Okay, and again, I'm not saying okay, you're done. I've listened to you 3 times. We're done. No, but we got to be discerning. Are we helping them? Are we bringing them along? You know, after a couple times of listening, it might be time to bring in the pastor or somebody to help. I'm saying listening is a good thing. You yourself, I mean, and me, you know, we can listen and give them hope from the Scriptures. We've heard a lot about that. We can give them goals. We can point them to their pastor to get some godly counsel on some things, okay? So listening is good, but we want to avoid the rabbit trails and the vein janglings, and okay? We just want to be careful. We want to stick to the issues, but listening is good, okay? Keep pointing them to God's qualities as you listen to them, and we have opportunity to talk. Point them to God's qualities. Point them to Scripture. Point them to God's promises. One of the things that everybody will get on their way out is a little book of God's promises. Great thing to point people to as you listen to them. I love Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is a great psalm. As you're listening to somebody and just giving them your loving listening ear. Psalm 77, 2 and 3, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I think we've all felt that way at times. But later in that psalm he says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. So you can give them hope. Give them hope right there in that psalm. You can give them an opportunity to talk, of course. But listen. Listen and be discerning, of course. And then obviously the practical side of that is never a man with a lady who is not his wife. Never a lady with a man who is not her husband. Never. Never. Never a child alone with a man. Never. Ever. Okay? Child, 17 and below. Ever. Okay? It's just practically, it's good, it's safe, and it's right. Okay? Listen. Thirdly, we got to move quick. Be honest. Be honest. Okay? The truth can hurt, can sting it sometimes. But when given in love, a desire to see one help, then the wound of that truth will heal to the betterment of the hurting. You know the verse? What's the verse in Proverbs? Yeah, there you go. That's right. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Okay? Be truthful. Ephesians 4:15 reminds us, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. And so we need to be truthful. Listen, but we need to be truthful. Not harsh, but truthful. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy and truth. Okay? It goes on to say, if you don't let mercy and truth forsake you, then you'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Okay? When I tell Jordan his hair is too long, it needs to look like me. Okay? Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Another thing about being honest is putting things in perspective. Be careful about the, your problem's really not that bad. Okay? Come on. Get real. Your problem's not that bad. Well, to the hurting, their problem is that bad. Okay, but you can help put it into perspective. Give them a right view of God through some of these Psalms. Help them think right about God. Remind them of God's perspective of them. Just go to some verses that remind them of God's perspective on them. How good He is. How He loves them. For God so loved the world. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so there are some things. I got to end up with this one here. Encourage fellowship with the believers. You heard it out there, for those of you that heard Pastor Chris's testimony, but isolation is deadly. So someone's hurting, and they want to isolate themselves lovingly. Don't let them do so. Bring them to church. Encourage them to come to church. Hey, if you got to go pick them up, go pick them up. If you got to say, look, I'm saving a seat for you, you come to church. Isolation is not good. Being in church with the believers is so important. So important. Don't let them isolate themselves. Encourage them in that way. And finally, help them get their eyes on others. Help them get their eyes on others. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. So even the hurting, we've got to encourage them to get their eyes on others. I told you the example. Pastor Chris going through his hard, hard time, that terrible tragedy that God brought them through. And I got a phone call from him after that time. Literally weeks, maybe days after that time. And he called me up and said, how are you doing, brother? How are you doing? He had his eyes on me. And I'm sure he had his eyes on others. Just an example. Mm-hmm. But his eyes were on others. And that helped him through. Help the hurting get their eyes on others. Even if you've got to go with them to go do something for somebody, help their eyes get on others. Well, there's other things I wanted to say and I could say, but there's three things. One, we do have a responsibility to hurt. We have a responsibility to help the hurting, especially because we're born-again believers, we're part of a local Bible-believing church. Number two, we need to prepare ourselves to help the hurting. If you're like me, sometimes I can just get so busy, I'm just going about life and the hurting are just... I'm just walking right by them. I've got to prepare myself to help them. And thirdly, there's practical things. And there's probably a dozen other things that you can think of to help the hurting. But there's some things I hope that just reminded us of what we can do to help the hurting.